Hey there, gang. Welcome back to the Moving Ahead podcast. Thanks for coming back. Thanks for listening to the first two episodes of the new format. And to my loyal 14-minute leadership listeners, thank you so much for coming back. I see you out there. I know you're subscribing, and I appreciate you, all of you, even the new people. Share it with your friends. Subscribe, rate, and review. Do all the things to keep this thing going. Find me on the social media channels, Facebook, Instagram, all the places. Email me, the Moving Ahead Pod, for all those things. The email is at Gmail. So if you're new to the show or you just need further clarification because you weren't listening, like I just said, the Moving Ahead Pod is all about moving your life forward and moving ahead in every step of life, whether that's your career or as a parent or as a spouse or just in life in general, and you want to continue to progress and move ahead. We're here to talk about positive ways to do that, share some stories, just talk about how we can get you moving forward to that next step, whatever the goal may be. Maybe it's to start a podcast. Maybe it's to remodel your kitchen or read a book or write a book, like we had my son on last weekend who wanted to write a book, so he did it. We don't want you left behind. We want you moving ahead. So that's what this is all about. If you're new here, I wanted to get that out of the way in case you were confused about what you landed on or what you found in iTunes or Apple Podcasts or whatever it's called these days, or wherever you listen, Spotify. I don't want to just be very Apple-centric. Everybody that knows me knows I'm an Apple guy, so I always forget to leave out the, or I always forget to mention, rather, the Android and the Google Podcasts and the Spotify and all those things because I'm an Apple guy. Hey, don't hate me. It's the most popular phone and platform in the world. What are you going to do? I'm a follower in that sense, I guess. So along the lines of moving ahead, today I wanted to jump right in to something that affects almost everyone. And I know it's affected me at some point in my life. And like I said, I'm pretty sure it affects everyone, especially as you're younger. And that's the fear of failure. At some point in your life, you've been scared or worried about, hey, I'm going to fail at this project. I'm going to fail at this promotion or this role at work, this title. I'm going to fail as a husband or wife. I'm going to fail as a parent. It crosses everybody's mind at some point, and it's legitimate. I mean, it's something to realize is out there. I mean, failure sucks, right? Everybody wants to be successful. No one wants to fail at the things they set out to do. But what I'm here to talk to you about is that being afraid of failing and having that affect you all the time can actually hold you back. It can keep you from moving ahead. It can keep you from trying those new things that may be a new career path or a new business idea or something great for your house or something great for your spouse. Oh, look, I just made a rhyme. Maybe my next podcast should be about rapping inadvertently, making rhymes when you don't even mean to. I didn't mean to there. I did not set out to say house and spouse at the same time, but I did. So maybe I have a budding future as a rapper, and what I'm here to talk to you about today is that I'm not scared to pursue that route. I don't have any doubt. I can't think of anything else, so I think I'll go pout. See what I did there? We're rapping now. Just like that. So the fear of failure. Think about it. Has it ever affected you? Have you ever had a traumatic experience that has caused you to have that fear? Going forward, did you have a presentation that you really sucked at? Did you not excel in your role at work and you got reprimanded? Did you have unsupportive parents? What's the cause? What's the root cause? I think the key to discovering how to get over this fear of failure is realizing what caused it to begin with. Again, it can be any number of things. And this fear actually has a name, and I'm going to struggle through this, so bear with me. I'm not good with these kind of words, but it's Atychophobia, I believe. Atychophobia? I don't know. Something like that. Atychophobia. Atychophobia. Not phobia. No. Atychophobia. Atychophobia. That's what I'm going to go with. Atychophobia. This stupid Google site that I looked this up on doesn't give you the little pronunciation marks. So I'm going to guess and say atychophobia. Or atychophobia. I don't know. Let's get off of this word. It has a scientific name, but it's when we allow fear to stop us from doing the things that can move us forward to achieve our goals. So everybody that listens to this or knows me knows I'm a storyteller, so it's a quick story time. Woo! Pull up a chair, lay down, whatever you need to do. Don't fall asleep, but I'm going to tell a quick story. So when this quarantine and COVID thing started, naturally, at first, it's a little shocking. And my wife and I remember sitting around and just being incredibly bored. What do we watch next? What do we do? Should we clean the house? Should we go down the road of doing a house project? What if we lose our house because we lose our jobs? Is it even worth doing a project? Is it even worth putting any money into a house, into a situation that could all change like that, right? Nobody knows the future, even in the best of times, but right now it's especially dicey and a little scary and the route is not clear. So we sat around and said, what do we do? Should we, I don't know, redo our kitchen? Should we redo our floors? Should we tile the back floor that we've been waiting to do? As everyone knows, I got furloughed, so my career future is up in the air. All these things floating in the air, and we're not sure what to do. And so for the first probably couple weeks to a month, we sat around and did nothing. We watched a whole lot of HGTV, which that's just recipe for disaster in this situation, because then the creative wheel started turning, watching these shows about home improvement. Hey, maybe we could do that. Well, I'm kind of scared to do that. I'm not an electrician. I'm not a tiler. I don't know how to tile a backsplash. I don't know how to do kitchen countertops. I'm a little scared to do that because with the future uncertain and finances uncertain and all those things, what if I screw up? What if we take apart our kitchen and I screw up? So now I've spent the money on the materials that I was supposed to do, but I screwed it up. I made a bad cut, or I broke something, or a pipe burst during the process. Now I have to pay a professional to come in and get new materials and do the work for me. Talk about wasting your money, right? And like I said, when jobs and everything else is up in the air and futures are uncertain, that can be a scary road to go down. Well, what I'm here to tell you is we went down the road, we took apart our kitchen, we took apart our bathroom, we took apart several things in this house, and I just did it. I got my hands dirty and I did it. There's a great resource out there for anybody who doesn't know how to do something. It's called YouTube. Check it out. All you got to do is a basic search about how do I tile a backsplash? How do I install butcher block countertops? How do I start a podcast? How do I get promoted? I'm sure there's a video out there for everything you need to learn. And sure, it's some expert or somebody who thinks they're an expert telling you what to do, kind of like this podcast, me claiming to be somebody who knows something, preaching to you about what to do. But more times than not, those videos are out there for a reason. They have thousands and millions of views for a reason, because it's good information and it's free. So check it out. Don't be scared. That's the message here, is that we wanted to redo our kitchen. We didn't have the money to pay for a professional. We had a vision that we wanted to do. And I'll tell you what, it feels damn good at the end of the day to know I did it with my two hands. Is it perfect? Hell no, not even close. Are there gaps in the countertops that I had to cover with tile and silicone? Absolutely. But does it look kick-ass? It sure does, because I've spent the time, I put some passion behind it, and I did it with my own two hands. And it feels great to know that I did it. I didn't waste one dime on paying a professional to come into my house and do anything, except for remove the granite countertops, because I'm too weak to lift them by myself. So I had to pay someone to do that. But now we have a brand new facelifted kitchen that I can take pride in saying when people come over here, I did that. And all that uncertainty I talked about before, say we do lose this house because we both lose our jobs and everything goes to hell because of this pandemic, because it keeps going on. We never turn the corner on it. Say we lose all that. Well, what I did was I spent a little bit of money and a little bit of time to get the maximum value out of my house should I have to sell it in the event of that emergency. So you see what I'm saying is it's very easy to be scared about all those uncertainties in life. Will I screw it up? What's the point? Am I going to lose my job? Am I going to lose my house? Should I even go down this road? All these things competing in our brain about should I do this? Should I do this? I could fail. I could fail. Well, of course you could fail. You could fail at everything. You could fail at life in general. You could fail at your marriage. You could fail at being a parent. You can fail in the workplace. Failure is part of our life, and it's how you react to that failure which makes you stronger, makes you a better person. There's all the cliches out there, all the quotes about, you know, get knocked down, get up 8 times or whatever it is. I'm saying that completely wrong, but you know what I mean. All the quotes out there about failure and how to respond to failure, but the key is not letting failure invade your mind and keeping you from even trying it. That's what we're talking about today, is not even getting started because of that fear of the failure. It's okay to fail. I tell that to my kids all the time. At least you tried it. Failure's okay. You want to play football and you suck and you never score a touchdown and you fumble the ball and you have tons of turnovers? At least you did it. There's so many kids out there. There's so many adults that have regrets that they never did it. You're listening to one of them. I never played football because I didn't know how to play football. I wasn't raised in a football family, but I love the game, and I'm big. I should have played because it teaches you discipline. It teaches you skills that I didn't get playing in the band. Was I a hell of a good musician? Sure. And I loved being in band, and that was my thing. And I still love music to this day, and I value it. But I really wanted to play football or some organized sport. I loved basketball, all those things. And in high school, college, I didn't play any of it. You know why? Because I was scared. I was scared that I wouldn't be good enough. I wouldn't play. Somebody would tell me I sucked. And so I was scared. I didn't do it. Because I too have this fear. I struggle with the fear of failure. And don't let anyone tell you that they don't, because everybody does. Maybe not with the minor things. Some people are better at it than others. But there are those big ticket items out there that really affect your life that people are just plain scared of and oftentimes never start. Well, again, what I'm here to tell you is go down the road. Start it. Try it. It'll be worth it in the end, even if you fail. So real quick, I want to share some tips about how to conquer the fear of failure. And this is from Psychology Today magazine, so these are not mine. I would never claim to be an expert in anything, except for maybe installing butcher block countertop, because I just did it and it looks kick-ass. But other than that, I would never claim to be an expert in anything. So what I want to talk to you about today is what I'm reading from Psychology Today. Again, kind of the point of this podcast dating back to its original format with 14-minute leadership is I'll do the research for you and share it here so you don't have to go find it. I'm trying to help you out. I'm trying to be a message of service and positivity and help to all of you. So if you download, all you got to do is click download and share and all those things and rate and review, and I'll keep doing it. That way you don't have to do the extra work of looking it up. And hey, if you want tips on how to install butcher block countertop or redo your kitchen, hit me up because I just finished and I will help you. Can you tell I'm kind of excited about doing that? I am, because like I said, I was scared. I was scared out of my mind, and the house is still a wreck. And I mean, that's the thing, is once you commit to doing something like that and you take everything apart, it's disaster time for at least a couple weeks. But hey, you know what? We did it. We're in the cleanup phase now and it looks amazing. And like I said, my kids saw me working hard. My wife saw me working hard. All those things, I know I worked hard. Those are all going to contribute to better lessons for them, greater things in life down the road for them and for myself. Because now, I'll tell you what, I feel like I can do anything just from finishing that one project. All right, enough of that. Enough hearing about my stupid kitchen remodel. I think I've bored you to tears with that. Let's talk about what's in Psychology Today magazine about how to conquer the fear of failure. The fear of failure is defined as the intense worry you experience when you imagine all the horrible things that could happen to you if you failed to achieve a goal. Like I said, you know, hold on, pause. Another quick story time moment here. So pull up your blanket and your pillow. Again, we're going down story time avenue. Me moving to Massachusetts, talk about fear of failure. And I'll tell you what, in my first job that I had here, it affected me big time. That's ultimately why I left and was not really successful there in my mind, and probably in the mind of my leadership and everyone else, is because I was so scared of doing the wrong thing and not making it here after moving my whole family and uprooting from California, clearing out my retirement and my savings to actually do the move, all those things. I had to be successful here in Massachusetts, or I would look like a failure to my wife, to my kids, to my in-laws, to my parents, to my friends, to my brothers, to everybody. And so I had to make it work. And what did that do? That fear made me timid. It made me not perform to my highest capability as a director and as a leader in that organization. And it affected me. So what I did was I had a completely different change of mindset when I left and took my current job. I said, I'm not going to do that. You know what? I've been here 2 years. I've been out here 2 years. We're making it. We bought a house. The wife has a good job. The kids are doing well in transition. You know what? We're going to do this damn thing. And I changed my whole mindset and attitude. And I'm not going to be that timid guy ever again, no matter what job I may fall into or no matter what life's path has for me, whether it's moving to another state or moving to another job or whatever. I'm not doing that again, because ultimately that fear affected my success. And that's not right. My success should be affected by my performance, by how I do things, by my leadership ideals and styles, and my policies and procedures and my work, not from being scared that, hey, this might not work out and everyone's going to judge me. That's the wrong path to take, like we've talked about. So having that intense worry, like I just mentioned, can really affect you. The intense worry increases the odds of holding back or giving up. Being successful relies to a large extent on your ability to leverage fear. So like I said in the beginning, fear is okay. Fear is there. It's everywhere. We're scared of certain things in our life, rational and irrational. You need fear to kind of drive you. And that fear, while affecting my performance, also drove me to work harder than everybody else, to try harder because I knew I couldn't fail at this whole move. And that's what still drives me today is I want to make this work. I want to make all of this work. Even through this pandemic, I'm doing whatever it takes to make money, doing side jobs, starting businesses, all these things, because we can't fail. I can't fail my kids. I have people relying on me. And so that bit of fear is good because it's a driver. But when the fear overcomes you and overtakes you and you fail to start, that's where it becomes a problem. And that's what this article is talking about. So their number one tip is to redefine failure as a discrepancy. Success is often hard to define. Failure is even harder. What is your definition of failure? Is it giving up? Is it never going after your goals? Not achieving the desired outcome? Not achieving the desired outcome within an expected timeline? Fear presents itself in all these different forms, okay? You may think that the answer to this question is obvious, but it's really hard to define, and it's important to be clear about what you consider failure to be. Since failure is the object of your fear and the obstacle to your success, so you really need to figure out what it is. For me, in that example I just shared, it was losing that job or not living up to my expectations for the people that hired me, and this whole thing would be like a joke after 6 months. Like, you moved your whole family here, now you're jobless and homeless, and what are you going to do? You have no support unit, the parents, everybody's back home. What are we going to do if you fail at this? That was my irrational fear. When what it was the organization was really rooting for me to be successful. They gave me all the tools, but my fear held me back and made me too timid, which was one of the things that they probably didn't like and didn't want to see out of my level of position. So I fixed that. I was able to define it and realize what it was, and I fixed it. And now I know that we'll be okay. This pandemic has really showed me that no matter what happens, if you get laid off or you get fired or you decide you don't want to be there, it's okay. There's other jobs. There's other ways to get by. Start businesses, start podcasts, do whatever it takes to get by. And if you have that mindset, you will do whatever it takes. I will do whatever it takes to make sure my family is successful, has food on the table, has a roof over their head. Even if that's working an hourly job at the grocery store, if it comes to that, I'll do it because I don't want to fail them. And so I'm not scared anymore. I'm going to do whatever it takes to be successful in my current role or whatever is in the future for me. I don't even know. Who knows what the future is, right? Number two is distinguish between real and imagined threats. Fear is our response to two kinds of threats, real and imagined, or rational and irrational, right? You've probably heard that before, irrational fears. My kids have tons of them, like monsters coming into the house and killing them. Burglars coming into the house. Well, that's a rational fear in a certain sense, but where we live and the sacrifices we've made to be in this neighborhood, in this house, I always tell them it's irrational. I've worked very hard to move you into a safe neighborhood. Of course it could happen. But the things like monsters and goblins under the bed and in the closet, those are irrational fears, right? I hope I'm not calling anybody out here. Is anybody out there listening in my adult audience still afraid of the dark or afraid of the boogeyman? It's okay, I guess, if you are, but you know, no judgment here. But I'm hoping that's more of like a kid irrational fear thing. Am I right? Please tell me I'm right. Real threats pose a risk to our survival. Imagined threats are hypothetical scenarios. Irrational, right? Delivering a speech in front of a group of people is an imagined threat because there's little risk to your survival. Unless you're presenting or doing a speech in front of a bunch of zombies or criminals or people that want to kill you, your survival's not at risk there, right? So it's probably an imagined threat. They are interested in eating you. So there's a true kind of actual threat that I'm going to die during this speech. Now, a lot of people, before they have to give it a big speech, they're afraid of public speaking or whatever. And oh my God, I'm going to die. And they're sweating. I can't do this. I can't do this. I'm going to die. I'm going to die. You're not. You're just going to go talk to people. Will they not be interested? Will they be bored? Will they fall asleep? Maybe. But your survival is not at stake. That's what this is trying to say. Fear of failure, by definition, involves imagined threats. And while the fear is real, the threat is not. For the time being, the threat is a prediction, a product of your imagination, a scenario you built. Now, this is key. All those things I talked about at my former job that held me back, they were created in my mind. They were a scenario that I created in my mind. Now, of course, could I get laid off because of budget cuts? Could someone in the organization not like me and fire me? Sure. But that's not the case in most situations. I mean, maybe the layoff thing is poor taste right now to talk about because of the pandemic. But again, nobody knew that was going to happen. Listen, I have a lot of competing thoughts in my mind about whether leaving my job was the right thing to do to go take my new job at TD Garden, because literally a month later, this pandemic hit and I got furloughed. My old job is still going strong. The person who replaced me, who was a guest on the show a couple episodes back, is working every day and doing well. That could have been me, but I can't think that way because I had no idea the pandemic was coming. I had no idea it would affect me the way it did. But you know what? I would say for the most part, it affected me in a positive way, because here I am talking to you in a microphone, doing something that I'm passionate about that I've always wanted to do. I always wanted to have a podcast to spread good news. I've always wanted to do another podcast, which I'm doing with my wife. I've always wanted to redo my kitchen and learn how to do woodworking and all those things that I'm doing because of this. So you got to look at your blessings, look at your silver linings as well. And you know, like I said, I could still be working at my old job at the convention center, but I wasn't happy. It's not really what I want to do long term. And so I can't look back. I can't have any regrets about the decision I made because I didn't know what was going to happen. Nobody did, right? Number three is create promotion rather than prevention goals. The research on goal achievement suggests that there are two types of approaches that people take with respect to their goals: approach and avoidance. I like to call them promotion and prevention goals, so says this author, not me. Promotion goals are about achieving a positive outcome. I want to get a raise, for example, or I want to expand my client base, blah, blah, blah. I want to get a promotion. While prevention goals are about avoiding a negative outcome. I don't want to lose my job. I hope I don't get a negative review. Prevention goals are associated with more disorganized approaches to goal pursuit, lower engagement, less self-determination, and more anxiety. I was never more anxious than I was the last couple years when I was worried about losing my job and failing at this big move. Back at Disney, when I was only worried about getting promoted, there was some anxiety there because I needed the money that came with the promotion. But it wasn't like losing my job. I knew my job was safe no matter what there. I knew that for the most part, I had job security in my role. I was liked enough. I was a high enough performer. The business didn't really go anywhere. Again, all pandemics aside, which has affected some people, at least temporarily there as well. Again, I can't have any regrets about any of my moves because they've all been affected by this crazy situation we're all in. So it doesn't really matter where I worked, except for, you know, like I said, the convention center still working. But even that's kind of a ticking time bomb, in my opinion, because no one's doing events. So I don't have any regrets. That's the point of what I'm telling you. But when I was there, I was so focused on getting promoted and making more money. So there was a little bit of anxiety around the financial part of what a promotion meant. But it's nothing like what I experienced the last couple of years when I was so afraid of failing at this big move. Because who wants their wife and kids to judge them, right? In that sense. And it makes them sound like bad people, but everybody would think, man, we moved. I quit my job back home. This is my wife speaking. All these things to move out here for this great big future, and we failed. And that's on me. Now, she would never point the finger at me and say that's on me. She would be very supportive because she's great like that, but that's how I would feel. And let me tell you, that kind of prevention goal that was associated with me in that time period of my life, super anxious. I mean, to the point where I thought a few times I was having heart trouble because I was so anxious and worried about it. Fear of failure leads to the creation of prevention goals, which I did. I created those out of thin air. I had no reason to think that that would happen, but I was just so worried about it. And that may blur our focus and undermine our efforts and make planning difficult. Yeah, that's everything I told you that happened. I was too timid, all these things that affected me that shouldn't. Reframing prevention goals as promotion goals is one way to take fear of failure out of the equation. So about 2 years in, when I said, you know what, there's other jobs out there. I'm talented in my field. There's people that recognize that. I'll be okay. That's when I said, you know what? I want to work somewhere else. I want to do something bigger. I want to do something better. And I went out and got it and did it. That flip of mindset changed everything for me. And I believe that it's what's helping me get through these hard times in this pandemic right now. So thank God for that change of mindset back then, or who knows what will be going on now during the pandemic. Number four is expect a good outcome, but do not become attached to it. I always like to say, hope for the best, prepare for the worst. Some may think that's kind of a negative outlook, but I see it as a realistic outlook. You always want to hope for the best. Who doesn't want to have some hope, right? But prepare for the worst just in case. So what does that mean? Have your finances in order. Add value to your house in case you need to sell it. all those things that I talked about earlier, the last 20 minutes, hope for the best, prepare for the worst, and reshape your goals to fit that so you're not afraid to get started. You're not afraid to fail. Number 5, you are strong and you can prevail. Absolutely. That's what we've been talking about this entire episode, and we'll wrap up with that. You're going to be okay. There's something out there for everybody. And hey, guess what? If you're not okay, then you're not okay. It's okay to not be okay. How many times can I say okay? You're going to be okay. There's other jobs out there. They may not be the job you want. They may not be up to your full qualification. They may not pay you the salary you want or maybe even need. Maybe you have to work 2 jobs to accomplish that house payment or whatever it takes to get by to put food on the table. But you know what? You're going to be okay. If you're not scared, if you don't have the fear of failure and you're willing to get your hands dirty and put the work in yourself, you're going to be okay. That's all I have to say about that today. I thank you for listening. I think that's a good spot to end this. I'm not going to rap anymore unless something pops in my head. And yeah, that's it. Don't be afraid. Go out and do it, everybody. If you want to redo your kitchen, if you want to get that promotion, if you want to change the brakes on your car, something you don't know how to do, the information's out there. There's tutorials on YouTube. There's people like me here to help you on podcasts. We're in an information-rich society. Technology is at our fingertips when it comes to the internet and everything out there. Just do it. Don't be so scared that you're going to fail or mess something up. Failure's okay. It's okay to screw up along the way. Don't be afraid and do it. Cheers. Have a safe week. We'll see you next week. Thank you for listening. Take care of yourselves. Wear your mask. Stay out of trouble and have a good day.